This is part three of a series entitled Lives of Great Purpose. So far, we've talked about how as believers in Jesus Christ, there's nothing common or insignificant about our lives. We were loved from before the beginning of time. We were born of just the right parents, in just the right place, at just the right time, all to serve God's great purposes for our lives. And we talked about how Jesus himself said, I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me. And that kingdom is expressed on earth as church. And last week we pondered what Jesus meant when he said, you are the salt of the earth, and how we as followers of Jesus, as we emulate Jesus' love, our love brings a preserving effect, a healing effect, and a savory sweetness to the world. Now we come to a great question. Just who is the light of the world? If you were to catch me off guard and ask me that question, my immediate response would be, Jesus, of course. And in one sense, this is exactly true. But in another sense, it's not. Because Jesus himself has a different take on the matter. And we're going to explore that take. He makes a bold declaration, one that must have been a real wow moment for his disciples when they first heard it. Because there was a time when they first heard it and when Jesus first said it, and it was indeed very big news. The disciples were really just starting to understand how Jesus was the light of the world. They were just getting their heads around the idea that he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ, that he was the Son of God and the Savior of the world, and in so being, he was the light of the world. And now he says this. Now he turns it all around and says, you are the light of the world. So let's have a pause here to let those words sink in. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. But what is it about those words that is most surprising, most sensational, even scary? Well, let's break it down. First, let's look at the phrase of the world. Now, we know what the world is. The way Jesus is using the word world, he's really talking about the people of the world. Okay, well, that's not the shocking part of the declaration. Even the word light doesn't startle us. Light is a very pleasant word. We love light. We wait with great anticipation for the early morning sun to shed its beautiful beams of light at dawn. We delight in the glow of light from a campfire, a fireplace, or even a Christmas candle. Even the simple act of turning on a light in a dark room gives us a particular joy. Perhaps the most beautiful and wondrous thing about light is the effect it has on darkness. It chases it away. Wherever darkness meets light, light wins. Always. Light pierces darkness and sends it into hiding. Light triumphs over darkness. Always. So light is good, and the phrase, the light of the world, is a very delightful arrangement of words. The light of the world. A lovely thought. Even that doesn't trouble us any. On the contrary, there's something absolutely heavenly about the idea of the light of the world. Darkness is over the world even now in so many ways, and so many people are trapped in that darkness, captive to darkness. Darkness manifests in various forms. The darkness of fear and dread, the darkness of depression, the darkness of anger, hatred, or rage, the darkness of oppression or abuse, the darkness of addictions, hopelessness, loneliness, isolation. Darkness comes in many forms, and that's just a partial list. Worst of all is the darkness of being without God, the very giver of light and life and love. But then comes light. The light of the world, and people are set free from darkness and brought into the radiance of the kingdom of light. The light of the world. That's wonderful. If only Jesus had stopped there. But no, Jesus adds those two fateful words to the phrase, you are. You are the light of the world. Oh, then it's like, what? What did you say? Who are you talking to? I must not be hearing that right. Those two words, you are, seem so out of place with the rest of the sentence. Jesus is the light of the world. That's right. But Jesus said, you are the light of the world, and he ought to know. John 9:5 does clear things up a bit. In John 9:5, Jesus said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is with his disciples, and he tells them, while I'm in the world, in bodily presence, I am the light of the world. But Jesus knows he's leaving, and he has a plan of partnership with his disciples, a plan to confer on them his kingdom. He is a source of light for the world, and he has a plan to keep shining his light, even while he's not here physically. He's got a plan to shine, but not through his earthly body, through ours. Oh, what do you call that realization? An aha moment, a watershed moment, an epiphany? Or whatever you call that moment when you realize Jesus just made you the light of the world and his personal representative on this earth with a kingdom conferred on you and an eternal partnership in the family business. Well, it's a moment filled with both shock and awe, with fear and wonder. Well, the good news is, when you look closely at the declaration and you see the context and the grammar, you realize the you in that declaration is plural. It's not singular. Well, that is very, very good news. When I pondered the implications of a plural you instead of a singular you, I could literally feel a sigh of relief coming over me. Together, we are the light of the world. So with that comes the revelation that I don't have to be the light of the world all by myself. So the fear dissipates, but the wonder still remains, because it is a wonderful thing. But let's take a step back and ponder a bit of what all this means. A good place to start is the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And John is talking about Jesus here. The Bible is the written Word of God, but Jesus is the living Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The life of Jesus was the light of all mankind. John uses the past tense when describing Jesus having been the light of all mankind because, as we shall see, he's referring to his life on earth, his life as a flesh and blood human being. Then John says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There is light shining into darkness, and try as it might, with all its unholy powers, the darkness has not overcome that light emanating from the very life of Jesus. Well, darkness tried, and darkness thought it won. Jesus even said to darkness, this is your hour. Luke 22:53. When the crowd came to arrest Jesus, he said to them, every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me, but this is your hour when darkness reigns. Darkness reigned when the agents of Satan nailed Jesus to the cross, and it said darkness came over the whole land for about 3 hours. But what darkness thought was its greatest victory, to crucify the very light of the world, turned out to be its greatest defeat. It seemed like a great victory for darkness, and had Jesus stayed dead, Jesus Christ would have been barely a footnote in history. But he didn't stay dead, and so far from being a footnote in history, Christ became the very measurement of history. There is a B.C. and an A.D., and Jesus is at the very turning point of human history. But I digress. Darkness could not overcome the light, and it never will, because the forces of darkness removed one great light from the earth, only to find all these little lights starting to shine. Because by his Holy Spirit, this author of light put his light into every one of his followers. They tried to snuff these lights out one by one, but that light of Jesus was passed from one to another, to tens, then hundreds, then thousands, then tens of thousands, then they covered the face of the earth. The light of Jesus kept shining. I'll read on in John chapter 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The apostle John is writing here about John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself, that is John the Baptist, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Now it says, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is still the light of the world. But partnering with us is so important to Jesus that he chooses to even shine his light through us. It's still Jesus' light, but it shines through us. Jesus is like the sun. The sun has light in itself. But we are like the moon. The moon gives light, but not its own. It reflects the sun's light, just as we reflect the light of Jesus. When people think they have light in themselves, oh, that's how cults start. When someone thinks they're so very special as to have their own divine light. But Christians know that it's only the light of Jesus that we are reflecting. And to the degree that we do reflect his light, darkness is chased away. The light of Jesus is not some vague, undefined, esoteric thing. Jesus' light shines through his love. His love that compelled him to come to earth, be born as a human, live a life of love, and give his life as an atoning sacrifice so that our sins be paid for and that we be reconciled to God and be adopted as God's children. As Paul said in Ephesians 5:2, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When we walk in his love, we shine his light.
How lovely shines the morning star. The nations see and hail afar. The light in Judah shining. Thou David's son of Jacob's race, my bridegroom and my king of grace, for thee my heart is pining. Lowly, holy, great and glorious, thou victorious Prince of Graces, filling all the heavenly places. Now richly to my waiting heart, O thou my God, deign to impart the grace of love undying. In thy blessed body let me be, e'en as the branches in the tree, thy life my life supplying, sighing, crying for the savor of thy favor resting never, till I rest in thee forever. Thou mighty Father, in thy Son didst love me ere thou hadst begun this ancient world's foundation. Thy Son hath made a friend of me, and when in spirit him I see, I joy in tribulation. What bliss is this? He that liveth to me giveth life forever. Now